I want to read again from Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. See, I'll send you the prophet Elijah, and we're going to talk about this, Elijah, part of this in just a moment. See, I send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. So the Lord said, I'm going to send the spirit of Elijah before he comes back. And something's going to happen. And he says, he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, or else I'll come and strike the land with a curse. In our last session, we talked about how there's this curse of fatherlessness and motherlessness, both naturally and spiritually. And in the nations of the world, it's in the church, it's all over. And God says, I'm going to change that. Before I come back, he says, I'm going to send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Now, what's the deal with Elijah? Let me tell you about Elijah. Elijah is one of my favorite prophets. I mean, he's a powerful guy. He saw fire come out of heaven, you remember that, and burned up the sacrifice. I mean, he ran faster than the king's chariot. I mean, he was amazing. Jezebel didn't like him, and she was always trying to find him. And I used to love the story of Elijah. But Elijah, later in life, became very depressed. In fact, in 1 Kings, you see how that he was just going through this deep, deep, deep water, so to speak, 1 Kings 19. And the deep waters he went through is he went through depression, it appears like. And he's in a cave. And he's in this cave, and the Lord speaks to him and says, Elijah, what are you doing? And of course, he was depressed because all the issues with Jezebel and all these things. And the Lord said, what are you doing? And he grumbled back to God. And he said, I'm the only one left. And that wasn't true. Because, you know, when you get depressed, you don't think straight. And he wasn't thinking straight. Then the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord spoke to him. It wasn't, you know, in thunder and lightning. It was through this still small voice in 1 Kings 19. You know what the Lord said? The Lord said, walk out of this cave. I'm paraphrasing this. He said, and go find Elisha. And he mentioned a few others also, but we want to focus on the Elisha part of it. Find Elisha, this younger prophet, and train him to take your place. So he did that. He literally walked out, and he went and found Elisha. And in fact, what he did is he took his mantle. I'll use my coat as an example. He took his mantle, and he just kind of threw it on Elisha, the young man. Well, Elisha burned his bridges, so to speak. You know, he sacrificed, you know, he got rid of the oxen and killed the oxen and the plow. And he followed Elijah from that day on. Now, you pick up this story in 2 Kings chapter 2. And you have Elijah and Elisha. They're kind of walking along together one day. And Elijah looked at Elisha, the younger man, and he said, what do you want from me? And Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit. In other words, I want twice as much of God as you have. And Elijah said, you ask a hard thing. But he said, if you see me when I go, you stay in step with me, you'll get the double portion. So, from that moment on, whenever you saw Elijah, you saw Elisha hanging on because he wanted the double portion. He wanted, you know, he saw the power of God flowing through Elijah. He said, I want that. I want a double portion. Well, I think you know what happened. They came to the Jordan River Let me backtrack just for a minute. So they're walking along one day, and all at once, Elijah is gone. The chariot of fire comes, and the whirlwind, Elijah's gone. And when he's gone, he drops his mantle. And so Elisha, the young man, reaches down, pulls the mantle, has his mantle, his anointing, his call, has the mantle of his spiritual father. And it's interesting what he says. He didn't say, oh, my prophet, my prophet. He didn't say, oh, my pastor, my pastor. He said, my father, my father. Because Elijah had become a father in the Lord to Elisha. And you count the miracles. Elisha had twice as many miracles as Elijah had. He got the double portion. In fact, the last miracle, if you count them, was after he had passed away. There's still a power of God was in his bones. They dropped the man in his grave, if you remember, and he came up. Wouldn't that be a scary thing? And this guy came back to life. But he said this, the power of God in his life. You know, after he picked up the mantle, he went to the Jordan River, and he threw it down in the name of the Lord God, the God of Elijah, and the waters parted. All at once, all the prophets within the school of the prophets said, wow, the Spirit of God that was on Elijah is on Elisha. Amazing, amazing story. Now, here is the moral of the story. Here's where we got to get this. God's desire is that whatever He's given you, His grace, His anointing, His power, whatever, that you can have spiritual sons and daughters who have a double portion. They can go twice as far in God as you could ever go. I've been blessed to experience that. Remember, I'm from Pennsylvania, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. I'm a former chicken farmer. That's who I am. But I've been blessed to work with some spiritual sons in my life who are much more anointed than I am. I'll give you just one example. There's many. There are other examples. I'll give you one. My friend Ibram Amande, that I talked about before, who came from Kenya, has seen church planting movements throughout East Africa. You know, whenever in the evening news in the nation of Kenya, you know, if they need someone to speak for the church, he's so well known. He's a person that's often on, he's a person that many times has been on the evening news speaking for the church about whatever's going on in government. I can give you many examples of this. This is how God's used this in his life. But it's really interesting. Very, very interesting is this. I mean, he's known presidents. He's known those in high places in his government in Kenya. Now, here's the bottom line. The presidents in my life, whether it's George W. Bush, President Barack Obama, President Donald Trump, they don't know me at all. They never heard of me. But see, someone who's been a close friend and spiritual son to me has a double portion, has a double anointing. So I want you to know, this is so powerful. That's the blessing of house church. Because what you're doing is you're training leaders who can go twice as far as you could ever go. And then to even get more excited is this. And as I mentioned in one of the other classes, that a few weeks ago, I was in a place called Kadawa Village, where it's a whole village transformed, 10,000 in a village. The village was supposed to, people were all supposed to have died by this point, but today, you know, you see God doing all these amazing things, and a few thousand people now are part of this work as they're starting house fellowships all over the area, and starting, you know, other kinds of community churches. It's just amazing. But see, Hesmond Odindo is a spiritual son to my friend Ibram Amande. He's like a grandson. It's interesting, when I go to Africa and I speak, they call me a babu. Now that's Swahili. First time that I heard that, I thought they said baboon. I thought they said I'm a baboon. And they said, no, not a baboon. They said, we're not going to give you bananas, not that. They said, baboon, it means reverence grandfather. You see, we're talking about building family. And the blessing of understanding the reality, I'm going to show you scripture after scripture after scripture that bears this out. The blessing of all this is that we are called by God to be spiritual fathers and mothers to another generation. And let's believe God that they'll have a double portion. So whatever God's given you, believe God for a double portion, a double anointing on the next generation. Now, let's look again at a scripture we read just briefly a few sessions ago, but I want to really dig into this with you. And that is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14, 15, 16, and 17. Now, again, God is a father. He has a family. Jesus is his son. God uses family language. And there's family language all over the Bible. So house, church, is a family. We're talking family language. We've got to reorient our minds. We're so used to building programs and building systems. It's about family. It's about the people of God being family. Fathers, mothers, sons, daughters. Now, look at this. And I even encourage you in your Bibles, maybe circle the words that are family words as I read this. 1 Corinthians 4, so verse 14. I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. I've circled that word children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians, instructors, teachers in Christ, you do not have many fathers. I've circled the word fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father. There it is again. Became your father through the gospel. So Paul says, you needed fathers, didn't have them. You have 10,000 instructors. But he said, you needed fathers. I became a father to you. In the Lord, obviously. Then he said, therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Do what I do. Become a father. Become a mother. He says, for this reason, what reason? Because he became a father. For this reason, I'm sending you Timothy, my son, whom I love. He said, I love Timmy. He's my boy. I want you to know that the people God's placed in your life and in your house church are going to, you know, God's going to give you this amazing love for them. Say, man, I just love these guys. They are my family. You know, I was just this week with some house church leaders and telling them how much they love the people in the church. And even though they're going through issues and problems, said, man, we just love these people. And that's what this is all about. Then he said, I'm going to send you Timothy, my son. Now, Paul, as far as we know, wasn't even married. Paul did not have children naturally, but he had children spiritually. And so he says, therefore, he says, I'm going to send you Timothy, my son. And he said, him I love, whom I love. I said, I love Timmy. And so, again, there's this love we have for the people that God's called us to serve. Then he said, and he's faithful in the Lord. So you have Paul, and one of his spiritual sons was Timothy. He's going to send him to Corinth, to the believers there, and they're going to represent him. And then he said, he will remind you of my way of life in Christ. He didn't say, he'll remind you of my Bible study, remind you of my book, remind you of my epistles. He said, he'll remind you of my way of life in Christ. He'll remind you of how I've learned to walk with Jesus, how I've learned to pray. He knows me. How I've learned to treat people. How I've learned to be a man of integrity. How I've learned to balance my checkbook or whatever it is. We're talking about real life here. Then he says, he'll remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. So Timothy was one of his sons. Now, he says, I teach this everywhere in every church. This isn't just some side teaching. I teach this everywhere. Teach what? We're called to be fathers. We're called to be mothers. We're called to be spiritual sons and daughters. Obviously, as we learn from Malachi, we can believe they'll have a double portion. Many of them will have a double portion. So he says, imitate me, do what I do. So God's called us to make spiritual investments in people and house church. It's just an amazing opportunity to do this because it's relational church and relational Christianity. So what is God's will for you and for me? Well, first of all, it's to become a spiritual parent, become a spiritual mom, become a spiritual dad. It's these two relationships. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. We love Jesus and love your neighbor as yourself. It's bringing those into our lives that God has placed in our lives. Now, so number one is to become a spiritual parent, and then he wants to also give us spiritual parents because spiritual parents will help us find our identity in Christ. And Paul is simply saying, it wasn't working like that properly in Corinth. So he's talking to them. He's explaining to them that they need to become spiritual parents themselves. Now, a few years ago, I was in Plainsburg Park, Game Park in South Africa. In Plainsburg Park, they had this big problem. It was probably about 15 years earlier. And the problem was there were animals that were being killed, and they couldn't figure out why they were being killed. And so they took these cameras, and they set these cameras up. And so they could see what's going on. And they found there were these young bull elephants that were just killing. I mean, literally, I saw some of these elephants when I was there. They're now older than they were back when this happened. But they were literally killing rhinos and just killing, you know, other animals. And it was crazy. I mean, these elephants, they pulled trees out of the ground. And they were literally hurling debris and stones at these animals. It was just the craziest thing. And they said, we've never heard of this before. How could this happen? So they checked back in their history books, and they realized that in the past, there were no elephants in this park. There's a larger park in South Africa called Kruger National Park, so they had brought some young bull elephants over to this park, and these elephants were released in the park without having the grandpa and the grandma and the father and mother elephants there to help guide them. And they were just going crazy. I guess their testosterone level got too high. They were just going crazy and doing crazy things. So in the midst of that, they said, what do we do? So they got this idea. Why don't they get a few big old grandpa elephants, pop elephants, or mom elephants, and bring them over to the park and see what happens. And it was amazing. When they brought those to the park, and they had their TV cameras rolling, their video cameras rolling, it was the most amazing thing. And this was on TV all over the world. It was on just major, you know, major networks had this on. And what happened was they noticed that whenever the young elephants started to do stupid, crazy things, the big old elephants would just walk up right next to them, and, you know, they somehow snap into attention. And, you know, when they did the TV interview on that and they're interviewing the park rangers, they said, you mean they needed fathers? Yeah, he said, yes. He said, these elephants needed parents. They needed fathers and mothers. They needed role models. And that's why our God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of the generations. He's the God who wants us to recognize and honor each generation. In fact, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. There's four generations. And yes, did they do it right? No, they made mistakes. But there's a sense of generational connection. And that's why, whether it's chronological age or just understanding in the body of Christ, in our house church or house fellowship, so wherever God's called us to build, that we're realizing we're called to be spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, and help a younger generation, younger in the Lord, help them fulfill what God's given them, but be able to guide them and help them and keep them from doing really crazy things and doing really stupid things in that whole process. Now, why is this important? Because the Bible says, God says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 18, I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I mean, family language is all over the New Testament. And I'll give one more example. And that is, many in our generation have a warped understanding of what it means to be a father or mother. My oldest daughter, Katrina, was in a Bible school in New Zealand. And every Friday night, they went to Queen Street in Auckland, New Zealand, and they ministered to prostitutes. My daughter, Katrina, told me, she said, Dad, she said, I was ministering to this beautiful girl. She was a prostitute. And she was a nice girl, you know, as far as to be able to hold a conversation with her. And she said, I said to her, she said, you know, she said, I want you to know that Jesus really loves you. And this girl had never heard that. She said, really? That's amazing. She said, oh, yes. She said, my daughter said, the God I serve is like a father. And she said immediately, when she said, like a father, she said, the girl just kind of backed off. Said, I want nothing to do with that God. Was because her father had abused her and hurt her. And see, we are called to be a model for the next generation. A model, and maybe you've had a horrendous background and you've been abused and you've been hurt. God wants to heal you and bring wholeness into your life so you can be the father, the mother to the next generation that helps them fulfill all the destiny that God has for them.